Please pull up a seat and wind down. With your sojourn on Rokinshima, a pleasant one. The Witch of Truth has invited you to a tea party. We hope you choose to attend.
Hello, and welcome to a very festive hidden tea party.
Hello.
My name is Courtney. I am the witch of Christmas video games. Pronouns she, her. And these are my ho-ho-hos.
Hey!
Oh no.
Hi, I'm Jess. My pronouns are they, them. And I am the holiday author of this episode.
Oh yes. Jess has devised this episode, in case you didn't know by the episode title and description.
Yeah, if you need to blame anyone for this episode, it is me, I'm afraid.
Hi, my name's Rowan. No pronouns are they, them. Question for my co-hosts. What's your favourite Christmas movie?
I have three responses.
A very Courtney answer. Like,
do you mean does the movie have to have anything to do with Christmas, or is it like a movie that's like often shown on Christmas, or you just associate with Christmas?
If you can justify it being a Christmas movie, I will take it.
Okay.
So two of mine are directed by Tim Burton. So this, well, okay, one of them is only produced by this Tim tracks. Burton, but he was involved.
Okay.
So Nightmare Before Christmas, produced by Tim Burton, directed by Henry Selick, I believe. Good film.
I've never seen it. I probably should.
It's a Christmas film. That's my take. Most of the film takes place on Christmas. The Halloween literally ends after the first song, Don't At Me.
I showed this to my friend as a teenager, having grown up watching Nightmare Before Christmas. She was fucking horrified. Because the amount of, like, background gore that happens because it's stop motion animation, and also she was like, the stop motion animation is terrifying. And so, like, shout out to Esther, she was so scared, and I was like, this is not a horror movie.
I used to listen to the like remix album a lot, which has the fucking awful This Is Halloween cover by Marilyn Manson on it.
Fuck.
Good film.
God, I love that film.
They keep adapting films to Broadway. Where's Nightmare Before Christmas? That's all I'm saying. Speaking of musical Christmas films, Muppets Christmas Carol. We all knew it was coming. I'm a big Muppets stan. Rowan's a big Muppets stan.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's widely considered to be a very good Christmas
movie. I've actually seen that one.
Hell yeah! It's a banger.
It's good.
It's so good.
I think of the post Jim's death Muppet films, it's between that or Treasure Island for me. Pre Jim's death, it's Muppets Take Manhattan.
I think that Jim Henson's like soul does like haunt the Muppets Christmas Carol a bit. I think that's one of the things of beauty of it for me, because it is a movie that like does concern itself with like death and legacy a lot. And then, like, to write at the end, be like, in memory of Jim Henson, like, that fucking gets me every time. I'm gonna be honest. So, we should be a Muppets podcast. Why are we not a Muppets podcast?
What's your third one?
Third one, this is the controversial one. This is directed by Tim Burton, Batman Returns. One of my all-time favorite films. I love that film so much. It takes place at Christmas. There are a lot of scenes around Christmas. They go to a fucking Christmas ball. It's a Christmas movie, don't at me. They even reenact the biblical killing of all the firstborn. Except this time there are a lot more clowns involved.
Incredible.
Why are there penguins in the sewers? Who knows?
Who knows? Jess, what is your favourite Christmas film?
Okay, so I thought of some actual Christmas films while you were talking as well. So
what was your answer gonna be?
My answer was gonna be the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory film.
Ooh,
that is a Christmas film.
Because it
I
literally has
you.
Nothing to do with Christmas, but it's often shown again around Christmas. And I just really like it.
I do think it has Christmas spirit in its heart, you know?
Yeah.
It's about like generosity and being happy, and like these are Christmas
things.
So,
I hate Roald Dahl, so I'm not a huge fan of that movie, but I respect your answer.
That's fair, that's fair.
Matilda is being advertised everywhere, and I'm so mad because I hate Roald Dahl. My ultimate nemesis.
It's a real shame because I saw the musical and it was fucking amazing.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, it's really good.
No, my hatred for Roald Dahl is supposed to win me out here. So what's your actual Christmas movie answer? Because you said you thought of.
So I have a soft spot. So I don't know if it comes across, but I don't really watch films. I haven't watched many films, and I've certainly not watched many classic Christmas films because most of them really don't seem like my thing. But one thing I have seen is, and I remember as well, this was a few Christmases ago. My dad shuffled into the room and went, Jez, do you want to watch The Grinch with me? Because he was like, I want to watch a Christmas film, but I don't want to watch it by myself. And I was like, I'll watch The Grinch with you, Dad. And it was lovely. And I was like, you know what? This film's really good. So yeah, I do like The Grinch.
I'm so sorry. This is the episode, apparently, where I just piss you off. I don't like The Grinch.
That's fair.
Movie.
That's fair.
To be
I
fair,
really don't like that film.
It has Roald Dahl energy.
I love Dr. Seuss. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Dr. Seuss stan. There are not many good like Dr. Seuss adaptations post Seuss death.
Courtney.
If any.
Important
I
question.
Like Green Eggs and Ham on Netflix. Watch it now.
Important question, Courtney.
Yeah.
Smash or pass The Grinch?
Which Grinch?
Fuck off.
This is an important question.
Emmy.
Are we talking Grinch from the book? Are we talking Jim Carrey Grinch? Are we talking Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch?
There's a Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch!
Give us the rundown.
Okay, so, book Grinch.
No, I feel like that's a smash for Courtney, I think.
Yeah, I think
he doesn't want to admit it on
Paul. I'd smash the book. He's a bit of a freak. Yeah.
That tracks for you.
The Grinch in, like, the Grinch versus the Cat in the Hat crossover TV special. Probably also smash. He kind of pops off in that one. A full anime villain energy as he, has a showdown with one of the greatest cartoon mischief makers of all time. The Grinch in that one TV short where he's just terrorizing a town. Probably pass, like... I feel like there's a lot more going on there if you just show up to a town and just terrorize everyone.
This is
like, maybe,
so thought
maybe
out.
Get some therapy. Hating Christmas, sure. There's a lot of reasons to hate Christmas. Hating this one town in particular, not sure about that, Mr. Grinch.
First time Courtney said pass because they need to go to therapy.
Jim Carrey Grinch. Pass. I don't want him to just start running off doing a little silly walk during sex. No, thank you.
Why not? That sounds like a great thing to do during sex. But also, like, I would like to clarify that the reason that I do like the film The Grinch is not because of any sexual feelings towards Jim Carrey.
Good.
And then,
correct.
And then, past Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch, do I need to elaborate on that?
No.
Do you want me to elaborate on that?
No, we don't need that. Oh, and my final one is purely for nostalgia because I haven't seen it in years, but is The Snowman.
Mm.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
Because it was cute. The art style was lovely. The songs are really nice. I don't really even remember much about the story, to be honest, but it has nice vibes. What are yours, Rowan?
Ooh. Well, we've already mentioned my stock response, which is The Muppets Christmas Carol. It is family tradition to watch that every Christmas Eve. I'm going to nominate The Green Knight as my Christmas film of choice. It is a traditional medieval Christmas story about a guy with like a huge branch of mistletoe who comes in and like beheads a dude and then is like, next Christmas, come and find me, XOXO. Actually, he gets beheaded. Lol.
Oh no.
The Green Knight poem is lots of fun. Go and read it. If you have an afternoon to spare for some like fun polyamorous medieval literature, The Green Knight the movie is a movie I imagine is probably best experienced high. It's like very visually beautiful, but not a lot of substance to it. It is a film mainly about like wanting to softly cup Dev Patel's face and look longingly into his eyes, and like I do want to do that personally, so that really like sells it for me.
Okay, this is a Dev Patel stan podcast. We all love Dev Patel.
Love Dev Patel. The costuming and the music and the aesthetic of the entire film is just like so beautiful.
Also, if you're listening to this and Dev Patel has been cancelled, we hate Dev Patel.
Yeah, no.
Just covering our bases.
It's so pity that he's just a pretty face.
And it's so sad. He's so attractive.
Damn, why did they make him like that?
This is terrible.
Talking about smashing or passing the Grinch in the porn fanfic episode.
Yeah,
by the way.
I guess the follow up question for this: what's your famous festive? What's your favorite festive porn? And you'll go, I haven't listened to any, so the answer will have to be mine.
I mean, does the song Santa Baby count as festive porn?
Does it count as festive porn?
No, I don't think so.
I think it counts when Michael Bublé sings it.
Have I just misinterpreted the song Santa Baby this whole time?
I don't think it's enough to be porn. Santa Buddy, however, is enough to be classed as a hate crime.
I don't know, I feel the like deep homoerotic energy of that song. He's like, oh, Santa bro,
he tried so
come down
hard.
My chimney. I mean, come down the chimney.
He tried so hard to make it not gay that he cycled back round into full gay. Is that what you're saying?
I just one of my favorite things that happens is when like straight dudes try and like do dude bro stuff and like accidentally it turns out a bit gay.
Yeah. Shall we get into the festive porn?
Yeah, that's the holiday section of the festive
Christmas
podcast.
Special.
So now we're on to the bit where I ask you, what do you think I've written about?
So, I'm gonna have to go like really out here for because I know what kind of stuff you write, Jess.
Yeah. Courtney has precedent for this. Rowan has none. So this is exactly like the rest of the podcast, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Kumasawa has had, like, a bad back since doing all the Christmas decoration. Uh-huh. And who should come but to cheer her up this Christmas than Gap, the demon of misplacing several things. And is like, don't worry, I'm gonna help you misplace your back.
I'm starting to wish I'd written that now.
Strap, but it's spelt with two A's.
Yes.
Insane. As somebody who spent a lot of time reading MLM fanfic on Tumblr, I had just automatically assumed that you were just going to go for like one of the selection of older gentlemen. Like obviously in my heart I hope it's Nanjo Kinzo, but that's all I've got.
Santa Nanjo.
Is it Christmassy? Is it Christmas themed?
No.
Okay. Because I was gonna say, like, can we have a Hallmark movie?
It's not Christmassy because I didn't know when I wrote it that it was gonna be for the Christmas special. I think it has some Christmas vibes, at least at the end.
Okay.
So just so you know, this has been written because we got 50 listeners a while back. So Jess did promise.
I did promise, and this is something that I've done before. I am a bit of an aficionado of writing comedy porn. Which I would like to point out, this is, whilst this is sexual, this is not intended to be sexy. If you find it sexy, that's fine, just don't tell me.
Seek help, maybe. Maybe seek help.
Yeah, like, I mean, full I warning, did, this is gonna be an episode where we talk, like, quite in depth about
I did
sex,
after
don't
that.
Listen to it around your family, if yeah, you're uncomfortable if, with this content, come
don't
back
Don't listen
next
to
week.
This episode if you are related to me. That's all I want to say.
Please don't listen to this Mom, episode if you're related to me.
Just turn it off. Mom, if you're listening, go listen to someone. Go look, put on an audiobook.
You've already, through the course of this episode, gone in depth about which Grinches you would smash or pass.
About which Grinches.
Yeah, you should have put that disclaimer at the beginning.
Mom, smash means give a very stiff hug to.
Okay, that's not going to cause problems.
Right, okay. Jess, do you want to begin?
This beautiful piece of literature, it has a title.
Uh-huh. Of course
The title is, Nanjo has two hands. And they're both playing chess.
A good start. A good start.
So, do with that what you will. Nanjo thought for a moment before carefully moving one of his knights into the middle of the chessboard. He glanced up at Kinzo, who sat in his armchair, looking ravishingly grumpy.
Ravishingly grumpy. I hope to always be this.
That is a very forward move, old friend, he said, taking a long sip of nasty green liquid from his glass. Nanjo's eyes followed the glass to Kinzo's gorgeous, thin lips and frowned. I hope you don't mind me asking, he said. But why do you keep me on as your physician when you never listen to my advice? Kinzo laughed. You know I value your opinion, Nanjo, he said. But I like cucking you more. That's right, Kinzo says cuck.
This motherfucker.
Nanjo started sweating and tried to prevent his raging boner from knocking over all his pieces. He hated to admit it, but he lived for the moments where Kinzo shattered his self-esteem. It is your turn, Nanjo-san, said the soft voice of Genji, which brought his thoughts back to the present. Nanjo turned his attention back to the other chessboard laid out in front of him. Genji's game didn't have the same raw sex appeal as Kinzo's, but it brimmed with a repressed desire that always took Nanjo by surprise. He made his move slowly while looking Genji up and down. How did the clean-up downstairs go? Nanjo asked. I don't know how Goda manages to make such a mess. Genji moved his bishop. Everything is in order, once again. Nanjo glanced out of the study window just in time to see a blood-soaked Goda wail and burrow his way into the soil in the courtyard. He could only imagine what the man had got up to now.
Not the continuity.
The continuity. Same universe. This is the extended Umineko fanfic AU of me. But it wasn't the time to dwell on that. He turned back to Genji. You're very proficient at cleaning, he said. I bet nothing is too dirty for you. His heart hammered in his chest. Genji's expression stayed exactly the same, but Nanjo could sense the animal lust coming off the man.
I'm just imagining, like, the same two sprites of Genji, like, Genji normal, Genji animal. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It is my job to be good at that, he said calmly. Nanjo had never seen him so flustered. And it is my job to help my patients recover their health, he replied. But we can't all be as efficient at our jobs as you. He glanced back at Kinzo as he said this. Kinzo responded by grinning and putting Nanjo in check. See that move, Beatrice? He screeched. None of my worthless children could ever come close to matching my enormous throbbing intellect.
eyeballs rolling into land.
It is indeed humongous, Master, said Genji solemnly.
Oh no.
Nanjo sacrificed his queen to escape Kinzo's check. Vibrating with anticipation for the next move, his fingers played with the eliminated piece. Kinzo watched him with a predatory expression on his face.
Oh, don't like that!
Nanjo, feeling like a succubus.
I'm so glad for him. I'm so glad that he
ran his tongue down the side of the queen, then popped her into his mouth. Yeah, in any case, anyone was watching, the initial thought for this fanfic was, I was like, how can I make chess sexy?
You managed.
Oh boy.
to be fair, this only increases my relation to Nanjo deeper, because I'm well known for, like, as I'm losing a game, to just, like, start putting board game pieces in my mouth. It's not a sexual thing for me, it's mostly like an anger thing. But there is like a dragon piece on one of my family board games that has well known to be ended up in my mouth multiple times because I just get so mad I eat it.
I didn't know when I was writing this that you were, that you are Nanjo. We'll have to go on knowing that.
I've never done it in a sexual context and I don't think I shall attempt it. However,
good.
I do love to be like, that's so mean.
My piece now.
Or if we're playing Bananagrams and I have one tile left before I can call Bananagrams, I'll just stick it in my mouth.
Oh.
No one will find it there.
Oh dear.
I'm so sorry, listener.
This next bit, I guess,
this is the Rowan lore I didn't know I wanted, and I still don't know that I want it.
The next bit, I guess, is a cautionary tale. Because the chess piece went down a little too easily and immediately lodged itself into Nanjo's windpipe. Kinzo laughed maniacally as Nanjo coughed and retched. Genji stood up with poise and came to pat Nanjo's back very gently. It was completely ineffectual, but extremely erotic. A few moments later, Nanjo had managed to perform the Heimlich manoeuvre on himself, and the chess piece lay wetly on the table.
Wetly!
Ah, nothing gets me going like seeing someone nearly die. Another drink, Genji, Kinzo ordered with a snap of his fingers. He stared.
And like, Kinzo literally saw someone nearly die and was like, I'll drink to that.
Yeah. He stared directly into Nanjo's eyes as Genji went over to the drinks cabinet. No one tells me what to do, he rasps at Nanjo seductively. Kinzo took the drink from Genji and smirked proudly. He went to shot the absinthe, but a surge of heat overtook Nanjo, who slapped the glass out of his hand. Liquid and shattered crystal sprayed over the floor, and there was a second of silence while Genji pulled a mop and bucket out of his trouser pocket.
Out of where?
He's always prepared. He's always prepared.
He's always got that bucket and a mop.
Yeah.
For some spilled absinthe.
Stand down.
Some wet-ass absinthe.
Stand down, Genji, said Kinzo. I'll deal with this. Kinzo grabbed Nanjo and pushed him hard against the study wall. The smell of alcohol was heavy on his breath, and all Nanjo could do was clear his throat politely at the humiliation of it all. He'd just be like, bam! No one can tell me that's out of character for Nanjo.
That's perfect. It's beautiful.
Kinzo pulled Nanjo's doctor's coat off him roughly and ripped open his shirt. Buttons pinged in all directions, and Genji masterfully caught each one in his mouth.
Absolute lads. Perfect furniture.
Perfect. Nanjo breathed heavily as he found himself exposed down to his most private piece of clothing. A pink crop top with the words baby slut written in glittering letters across the front. It's the Nando crop top we always wanted.
Oh, fuck, baby slut.
Maybe I'll have to find you a replacement for the family conference next month, said Kinzo, his eyes wide. Killing you alongside my ungrateful family as part of an elaborate murder ritual seems like such a waste. Now, Kinzo-san, what have I told you about telling such funny jokes? Nanjo wheezed.
Insane.
His asthma couldn't take this kind of comedy. Master, may I join you? Asked Genji, who was standing a respectable distance away with his hands behind his back. You think you're worthy of this? Said Kinzo, gesturing at Nanjo's quivering body. You're literally just a chair. Kinzo-san, I diagnose this man with intense horniness, Nanjo replied. It might be fatal if we do not do something. Genji nodded and lowered his gaze. I am sorry to say it is true, Master, he said. Nanjo-san's head is especially alluring. It looks like a delicious egg.
It looks like a delicious egg.
Kinzo's face softened because he too craved the egg. Genji, activate sex mode, he ordered.
Activate sex mode! My god.
I enjoyed writing that line, that's so... In one quick motion, Genji's clothes flew off him, landing in a perfectly folded pile on top of his chair. Nanjo stared, enthralled at Genji's glistening skin, his razor-sharp shuriken, and the juiciest metal ass he'd ever seen. Yes, it is me, Genji from Overwatch, said Genji.
No, transform.
He did a gay little pose. What on earth is Overwatch? Asks Nanjo. But quickly realized he didn't care. The air was hot with sexual energy, and the three men couldn't hold back any longer. Nanjo and Kinzo teamed up to twist Genji's body into the spitting image of a luxury armchair.
No.
They took turns sitting on him, and Genji muttered a quiet, thank you, each time they complained about how uncomfortable he was. After an excruciatingly sexy 45 minutes of this, Genji performed an excellent castling manoeuvre that nearly gave Kinzo a heart attack. And Nanjo flipped the chessboard over so hard, he burst a blood vessel. It was then that Kinzo announced the start of the new episode, Climax of the Golden Witch.
Climax of the Golden Witch.
And they all started shoving chess pieces into as many of each other's orifices as they could. I didn't know when I wrote this was going to be so relatable to you.
I'm just finding this so funny. And this is my first experience with your writing. And I'm just like, this is so beautiful because you're so like matter of fact about everything that's happening. And then everything that's happening is just like insane. It's this beautiful world of contrast that I'm like, oh, beautiful.
They had to try quite hard to find the holes in Genji's metallic casing, but after sufficient probing, he was stuffed as full as he could be.
Oh no.
This is Christmassy!
Yes!
Oh my god, stuffing.
Nanjo moaned with pleasure as Genji spent several minutes trying to insert a bishop into his urethra.
Oh no!
And Kinzo roughly pushed a king up his left nostril. Nanjo retaliated by seeing how many pawns would fit inside the old man's colon. The answer turned out to be 27.
How do they have so many chess pieces? Where do they come from?
Well, they're playing with at least two chess boards, so there's got to be at least another. It's fine, it's fine. I don't know how many pawns are in chess. I don't know anything about chess. I had to Google things about chess.
16 pawns on a normal chessboard.
Okay, so two chessboards.
Okay, so they would have enough. They would have enough.
We're good, we're good. Beatrice! Cried Kinzo.
No.
He wrung his hands, and huge tears started falling down his face. Like any faithful servant, Genji knew that this meant his master was on the verge of an earth-shattering orgasm, so he dutifully jacked him off to completion. The cycle is complete.
Oh no!
The three men spent hours checkmating each other to the Golden Land and back. With only a momentary pause when Genji had to go and check if all the mansion's windows were locked. They lay together afterwards on Kinzo's bed, enjoying the afterglow. While Genji spooned Nanjo gently, Kinzo was halfway through a post-coital bottle of absinthe.
The absolute lad.
Why doesn't my wonderful Beatrice want to be trapped on my island with me? Mumbled Kinzo, who had been going over this question for the best part of half an hour. I'm better than literally anyone else in the world, and I have so much money. I'm the perfect man.
I see George really does take after him.
Yeah. Nanjo sighed and closed his eyes. It's a shame Master couldn't be here with us, Genji murmured into his ear. What did you have to say that for? Grumbled Kinzo. The absinthe clattered to the ground as his ghostly form dissolved into the air. Nanjo looked hard at the fridge over the other side of the room. I don't know, he said, turning over to snuggle Genji. Maybe it's for the best. The end.
Well, I don't think you're going to be topping that anytime soon.
Topping. Yes.
In this moment, I'm just here like, well, I'm so glad I made Jess redo Monaco.
Yeah, this is the result. This is the result. I put in the spooning bit for you, Rowan. That was for you. The end.
That is...
Nanjo Genji snuggle.
I really appreciate spooning. That was perhaps the part that was most resonant to me.
Yeah.
Love a good spoon.
And I conceived this idea before we learn in the pot, in Umineko that Kinzo was dead, and I was like, you know what? He's gonna be dead.
He's gonna be dead.
This is a witch memory.
I love that. I had wondered if you were going to address that at some point, and I think you did it in a beautifully poetic way. God. That was art.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on all of that? God.
My thoughts are, you know, sometimes Ryukishi will take extra material and, like, turn it into an actual playable visual novel. And I think that is, maybe if once they work out the copyright stuff with Activision Blizzard, I think that's definitely a
I don't bit. Want to roleplay putting chess pieces inside Kinzo's asshole, thank you.
I mean, the visual
what else do you do with them?
Has a long history of porn, so that's it's not completely unbelievable.
No, true.
Like it's a good use of the medium. We'd have to get some interesting splash art, I think, but, you know.
A lot of the normal sprites are, you know, we only need one sprite for Genji.
maybe Genji and then closed-eye Genji.
Genji, closed-eye Genji, and then obviously Genji from Overwatch. that might be a bit more awkward.
yeah, we would have to draw an entirely new sprite again for you from Overwatch. It would be easier, perhaps, if you used the, like, OG Ubaneko art style. Because in my head, of course, I was imagining the PS3 sprites, because that's what we play with. But if you use the OG Ubaneko art style, I think, obviously, it would be a bit easier to draw Kenji from Overwatch. Beautiful art. Thank you so much for sharing.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Yes.
I have had much practice at writing pretty much exactly the same kind of style, but like, what have I written before, Courtney? I did a modern AU of Pride and Prejudice,
mm-hmm.
where, yes. Mr. Darcy was a swarm of bees. And Elizabeth yes. was a 17th century French guillotine. and I wrote incredible. A very elaborate sex scene for that, which was quite difficult.
Yeah.
I've also written... I'm looking through my documents now. Elmo and... SpongeBob. But I wrote it in the style of the Bible, apparently. I don't remember that. I wrote some porn of our D&D OCs. Well, not my, one of my friends' D&D OCs. They were very happy about that.
That's funny.
I actually did write some with the Grinch in it. That was a Christmas one.
Wow.
It was the Grinch and Jesus.
Oh my god. I remember this. I don't think I read it, but it's been discussed.
That's iconic.
Oh, I wrote a pre-para one, Courtney. I think that was entirely goat sex, actually.
Oh yeah, the pre-para.
Yeah,
goats.
That was goats. Also did Waluigi and Mrs. Potts from Beauty and the Beast, which I wrote basically exclusively because of the fact that I knew Courtney was a Waluigi fan, and I don't think she's actually heard me read that one.
I need to. I deserve to.
The latest one that I wrote was a budding relationship between a jar of apricot jam and someone's camel toe. The camel toe has a separate consciousness from the person who had it.
The selections you make is incredible. Like, every time you read a pairing to me, you read the first half of the pairing, and I'm like, wow, revolutionary, incredible. And then you're like, and a camel toe. And I'm like, ha, genius.
Yeah, incredible. So, in other words, I think I should become the next Chuck Tingle.
I think you have
it in you.
I would also like to point out that I started doing this before Chuck Tingle became famous on the internet. So, whilst we are... we are kindred spirits, I feel. I was not actually directly inspired by his work, and I need to read more of it because it looks great.
This should be published.
Yeah, I'll have to get it all together at some point. And
Rowan is not biased.
AO3 is waiting.
Yeah. Let me create the fandom for B and Guillotine. Darcy and Elizabeth from Pride and Prejudice.
Incredible.
That was the one that started it, I think. Oh, and I would also like to point out that I wrote almost all of these entirely sober.
Honestly, Jess, I hope to hear more of this beautiful fanfic. Like, keep writing. You've got real talent.
Thank you. I'll have to see if I can think of a different pairing to do something nonsense with.
What I liked about your thing was, like, it felt like it was going to build up to, like, actual sex. Like, you were doing comedy bits, but it was, like, there was, like, some form of tension that was building, even though it was like weird and disjointed. And then you were just like, and then they were shoving chess pieces into orifices, and like, this is so very much not sexual. And I was like, this is perfect pitch for like a party or a podcast episode, for instance, because it's like, you're not you don't have to sit through the uncomfortable bit where there's actual sex.
Exactly.
So, on that note, shall we wrap up this Christmas special?
What?
So,
Merry Christmas.
We are Hidden Tea Party. We do weekly episodes. Yeah, if this is your first time listening for some reason, we review hit visual novel Lumen Echo. You should listen to us. We have a Tumblr. We still don't have our Twitter back. We're working on it.
We haven't even heard back from Twitter. I am seriously just considering making a new Twitter. Mm.
Twitter's like two...
And this time not getting banned.
Twitter's like two rats in a trench coat now, so I'm not surprised by this.
Yeah, it is unsurprising. What I will say is I've had a second... I didn't say this on air last time, but I've had my other Twitter, which shares the... phone number with the Lumen Echo Twitter, has also been locked. So I'm actually currently locked out of two of my accounts, which is devastating. Elon Musk, do better.
That Erica bot is really winning over you right now.
I'm so mad. My sprite is like defeated, the sweat running down my face.
But anyway, whatever socials we have are in the description. Yeah. Please follow us. And yeah, no reading, because this is the Christmas special.
Woo! Yay! The only reading was the fanfic we read along the way.
True. Feel free to reread the fanfic.
I will not be pressing the control button.
I'll send it to you.
Right, well, on that lovely note, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays! Oh, 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 oh.